104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a big story of the day.
Opening day. Not here in the Florida. Look at that huge crowd in Miami right now. Like, apparently they didn't get the memo that it was opening day. You know how we like have a sold out crowd in Lodo, D-Mac with Nate Jackson. You know, Nate, you know, good opening day. So, you know, it's busy.
It's great.
Sold out.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's the stadium is filled, but it could fill itself three times over with all the people that are just hanging out in Lodo anyways.
It's amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
That is the biggest party day of the year, right?
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And the weather always tends to be incredible, even though game two may be 45 degrees and raining, but it just seems like opening day is always brilliant. And then we look at Miami, where they really don't even deserve to have baseball. I mean, you know, they might have 15,000 people there. I mean, maybe.
Have they ever had a good fan support there?
Yeah, they won the World Series twice. So
Were they filling the stands then?
Yeah. I think. Well, I don't know if they've really ever filled the stands in this new place that they're in now, which just looks like an appendage to Disney World with all their foolishness they have in this stadium. But whatever. We got no score going on right now in the bottom of the third. Kyle Freeland's pitching well, okay. They've had a couple of chances to score some runs, and they were not able to take advantage of it. So we'll keep you updated as things go on. And hopefully the Rockies get a W, and we'll be talking to whoever the hero of the day may be.
Fingers crossed.
We'll hope for the best. You ever go to an opening day while you were living here?
Yeah, I did. Well, actually, I never went to the actual stadium. But I did go to the vicinity, and
I've had a couple opening days like that.
Some memorable moments up until the memory leaves you.
Is that right?
You know, you start so early that day.
You could, I suppose.
Well, what was
your strategy on opening day?
Just Lodo, man, starting at like 11 a.m.
Yeah,
you know. And
so, how would you get down there?
I think I would drive down and park my car and be prepared to leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Park it at a friend's place or whatever.
Gotcha.
And then let the good times roll.
Uh-huh.
And if you make it past dark, you win.
Wow.
And so if you're out there after dark, man, it's a sloppy crowd.
You know, that's going to be a fun time for football players because OTAs really haven't quite started yet.
Right?
I mean, they're about to. You're probably working out pretty hard and all that, but you probably get a break day, right? Like, you can factor in a rest day for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The way it used to be with us, we would train in the OTAs 4 out of 5 days mm-hmm. of the week, and you can choose which 4 those are.
So opening day would just get left off that list.
Correct.
Right.
And if you went 3 this week, you could make it up with 5 next week.
So when you were down there for opening day and you're amongst the throngs,
yeah.
Are you getting spotted? Do people know who you are? Or are you kind of incognito in that mix?
Well, I wasn't really recognized for my face, but when you are with a group of 5 NFL players, you kind of stand out.
Something happens.
You're just bigger than everybody, you know, more testosterone. And so the fun kind of gravitates to you. And football players know how to have a good time.
How many times... What was the frequency of somebody asks you, what do you do? And you say, and that must be an interesting question when you were playing in the NFL. It's like, well, what do I do here? Do I tell the truth? Do I just fib a little bit? Like, what do I want this conversation to be all about, right?
Yeah, because it inevitably changes, like the look in their eyes changes immediately.
Yeah, so let me just start here. When you weren't a football player, what was the most common lie you would tell to people?
What do you mean? When I wasn't a football player?
No. When you were a football player, but you really didn't want to tell somebody you were in the NFL or with the Broncos, what would you be?
I don't really remember. I was pretty honest, usually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tend to be a sales rep for publishing materials to schools and libraries.
Nice.
Because that ends the conversation right there, and that's what my dad did for a living. So what do you do? I'm a sales rep, independent sales rep for a publishing company for schools and libraries. Oh.
Yeah, you lose them at libraries. They still make those?
All right. So, okay, what do you do? Oh, well, I play for the... Would you say that? I play for the Broncos?
Yeah, I would.
Oh.
A lot of people wouldn't believe me. Like, what? Why don't you believe me? What is it about me?
Okay, no.
Yeah.
Really? No.
There's a stereotype.
So you would say it, they wouldn't believe you, and then what? Would you then proceed to have to convince them?
I'm lying, and they'd be like, yeah, no, but what do you really do? So then I would make something up, you know? Accountant or...
It's some sort of a nondescript job where there's probably not a follow-up question.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But inevitably... Later in the conversation, one of my fellow teammates would approach
somebody more believable that he's a member of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. Or are you a kicker then? And then you meet people out who, you know, when they learn that you do play professional football, they size you up. Like, you're not that big. I thought football players were supposed to be big.
Like, are we about to fight?
Yeah, basically. Some people are really enamored. Some people are suspicious. Some people, you know, are huge fans, so they want to talk about it. Some people just size you up. And, yeah, it kind of varies, but inevitably changes the timbre of the conversation immediately.
So now, what do you do? I mean, it's a question. Everybody, what do you do?
So why were you driving in between the...
Well, I played for the Broncos.
Big deal. It was an emergency.
Well, it is a legitimate... You know, excuse for speeding.
No, it's not.
No, I'm just kidding.
So so now you're, hey, what do? You say...
These days?
Yeah.
I say I'm a writer. And they go, what? What do you ride?
What?
No, I write. What do you write?
And then I go, I'm a writer.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
What do you ride? You should say Brahmas.
Yeah, Broncos. I'm a cowboy.
Well, you wouldn't be a cowboy.
No.
You'd be a, yeah.
But what do you write about? My time in the NFL.
You played in the NFL?
I did.
Who'd you play for?
The Broncos.
What's your name?
You did?
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've never heard of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah. What happened? Why'd you stop?
What happened?
Why'd you stop? That's what I get all the time. Why'd you stop? Well, I didn't have a choice.
Not to be a jerk, but every time you know, 6 years, I really felt like every time I saw you, I was like, hey.
You're still here?
You're still here.
It's like the guy at the party who hasn't left yet, right?
That's cool.
The guy who snuck into the party and no one asked him to leave yet.
You must have got that reaction every now and then from some... Everybody's happy to see you. You know, you were always a real popular guy, that's for sure. Everybody always loved you. There's other guys you see on the Broncos like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's still here. Yeah. That guy's, he's still here. He's still on the team. Look at that guy. He's still here, huh? Hey, look at that coach. He's still, well, let's give it some time. He'll be fired.
Everyone is eventually.
Those coaches, though, like, nobody's fired like assistant coaches.
No.
Assistant coaches are, it's ridiculous. Who would ever sign up for that job?
Well, because they want to be head coaches. I mean, they all do. Well, maybe not all of them, but 85% want to run the show.
Mm.
And so they're trying to work their way up. It's a tough race for those guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
They start at college and they bounce around all around the
world. Well, here's what's crazy, too. I know a lot of really good NFL players who I think would be great coaches. Who want to coach, can't get in. Can't get in that little club. So, it's a weird circle because they are continually being fired, but they're also, the same coaches are continually being rehired.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
To different teams, shuffled around the league. That's why you see not a lot of creativity in the league. Because of that reason, everybody's watching everybody. It's the same guys, same combinations. They're watching film of each other.
Right.
Really nothing interesting is happening offensively in my mind that's kind of breaking the mold.
We're going to be on the Broncos since Mike Shanahan. I mean, let's go through it, right? I mean, Josh, Foxy, Koobs, VJ, now Fangio. Crazy, right? Think about that for a second. Mike Shanahan, forever. And, you know, five different guys now. And you can throw in a little Eric Stutesville. You even throw in a little Jack Del Rio, who ran the team for a month. And, you know, if you wanted to, can even throw in Joe DeCamillis, who ran the show for a week. I mean, and so you would expect if you see, I mean, that many changes, Nate. Like, I would expect to go out to practice one day, training camp, and I would see something completely different. Like, this is going to be something I've never seen. No, it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Well, it's just so risky to take a chance and do something different that hasn't been done, because you'll get fired. If you try to do something, like, I have a theory that two quarterbacks on the field at once would work. Split the line. You got two lines with two quarterbacks.
You're talking about practice.
I'm talking about try it in practice and then do it in a game.
We're talking about practice.
All right, hold on. Give this to me again. Let me think about this for a second. I got two quarterbacks.
And two lines.
Where's the ball?
Well, you wherever it's placed,
okay.
You put a line of three.
Okay, so there's a center
and two, and a guard on either side.
Guard, okay.
And you got a quarterback and a running back next to him. You got a wide receiver split out to the left, and then you got another line about 5 or 6 yards to the right.
Okay.
Two more linemen with a quarterback behind him and a protector behind him. You can snap the ball, throw it to that other quarterback.
Okay.
And then he protects. There's a lot of different angles happening there. Now, you don't have to...
Am I in the gun or am I under center?
Whatever you want. But when you snap the ball, you don't have to snap it straight back. You know you can snap it at an angle.
I saw that. Did you see there's a great, like, extra point. It's like a college thing. And I saw they snapped it, like, just exactly like you said.
Yeah.
First of all, the guy didn't put the ball, like, between his legs. Yeah. He just...
to the side and just threw it.
Yep.
You can do that.
Starts on the ground, just zing, over to a dude. Yeah. And defense was flummoxed.
Yeah.
And the guy just ran around the corner and ran right in.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Because the defense is prepared for a very...
So you're saying
offense.
I could take a center. He doesn't have to put the ball under his legs. There's two quarterbacks on the field. I can just zing it over to the other guy.
Whichever one you want, based on the defense, too. You could have a center by himself on a line on, you know, 5 yards to his left, 5 yards to his right, and he can throw it either side, whichever their strength, opposite their strength. Maybe they're the guys they want to keep off of the play. You know, they're strong defensive guys. They put them over, and then they throw it to the other side.
Have you ever proposed this idea to a football person?
I've written about it, but football people don't read those articles.
Have you ever... done it and even with your buddies, like at a park, like
there's really no way to try it unless you have a football team to try it with, you know.
Kind of, it's a tough thing to just roll out there.
Yeah, but I'd like to and see how a defense reacts to it. We do, as
compelling
a
idea,
but if you try it, people are gonna be, what is that, man? This guy needs to be fired.
Well, one idea I had that that never got much traction, but it made sense to me is, why not rotate in offensive linemen more often and not exhaust them?
Yeah.
You rotate defensive linemen all the time. Why not rotate offensive linemen?
I like that idea.
I thought it made sense. And they've done that kind of more and more in terms of like a series here and a series there. I never saw what the problem was. But then I was told repeatedly by football guys, you know, it's important that these guys all stay together for a rhythm and that sort of thing. But I was like, yeah, okay, I mean, I get that. But what about some rest and having more energy later on? The most radical idea I ever had that just people thought was a joke, but I stand by it to this day, in Peyton Manning's last year. Like, I think about Rob Gronkowski. I have no idea why Rob Gronkowski, and we did talk about this earlier this week, couldn't come in, you know, halfway through the season and be awesome for your team. Now, I understand there's a certain amount of footballness that you have to get your body going. But when I looked at Peyton Manning, it was obvious, Nate, the year before they won the Super Bowl. So they went to Super Bowl 48 and got embarrassed, right? The next year they lost at home to the Colts, and Peyton was all beat up.
Yeah.
He had pulled hamstrings and quads and thigh, I don't know, whatever. That was the infamous one where it was like 3rd and 3 and Peyton rolled out to his right and had like 40 open yards of running room. And instead of just, you know, like doing what anybody would do and just, you know, first down, he like tried to gun the ball to like an impossible angle to a receiver way down the field. I was like, why didn't Peyton run? And I think Payne probably had a moment like, why? Yeah, why didn't I run there? Well, I don't think he ran because I think he was so beat up that he just wasn't, you know, he wasn't fresh. It wasn't in his mind that he could even do it. My idea was the next year, give Peyton Manning, who's an older guy, significant amount of rest. Schedule days off during the season in terms of games or weeks. And I've also made the argument there are levels of importance in games in the NFL. But the NFL mentality is every single game is the most important game ever. Would you agree with me on that?
Oh, yeah. Right. For a variety of reasons. The pressure, the media pressure is one.
But just in
like if the Broncos did that, sat Peyton, and then lost by three.
Right.
What would you say?
I would be okay with it, depending on what the game was. Because there are levels of importance in games.
You're talking about divisional opponent versus...
That's right. Just a little aside, really quick. My son's baseball team, Smoky Hill, love, go Buffs. They're playing the defending state champions today, Mountain Vista, later this afternoon. They have three non-conference games, Nate, that are like brutally hard to win. I mean, and they'll have no impact on them if they lose. So it's not that they want to lose or they should try to lose, but if they lose these games, it's just not that big of a deal. The games they have to win are within their own conference that makes a bigger deal to, you know, them eventually making the playoffs and moving on. Well, the NFL's not a whole lot of different. So I looked at the schedule and I saw like it was a game right around Thanksgiving on the road against the Bears. And I was like, aha, here is a game Peyton Manning should never play in. It's a non-conference opponent on the road. And you get two of those a year. Those are your two least important games of the year. Non-conference road games. And this one was like in November. So I was like, that is perfect. That is where, on purpose, they should announce Peyton Manning's not going to play that particular week. But you would have thought I had run over everybody's dog with that particular idea. You would have thought it was the worst idea in the world. And I was saying it for like months, you know, like give him some prescribed rest, let him be healthy, because when you need him the best is in the playoffs. Now, I just felt the Broncos were a playoff team. So I know you can't really do this if you're just, you know, who knows how your team is, right?
Right.
But the Broncos were in rare air, you know, at the time. It was almost impossible to think that they wouldn't make it into the playoffs and yada, yada, yada. Ah, you're an idiot. You're a moron. You're this. Everybody's, you know, calling me out. And the Broncos started strong that year, 4-0, 2015, but Payne was playing terrible right off the bat. So I asked Kubiak, I said, hey, any thought to just... not to be punishing Peyton, but just giving him some rest and playing Brock a little bit so he can, you know, just sort of, again, it's like I backed over Kubiak's dog and cat.
What'd he say?
It was ridiculous. I mean, it was so ridiculous that his answer and my question made national news. It was like being debated on by like PTI and, you know, the sports shows. Right, exactly. Can you believe what this idiot in Denver asked Gary? It was like that. In fact, Bob Ryan on one of these shows, one of the whatever those panel shows are, Bob Ryan, who was one of my heroes growing up in Boston. Like, he's a sports writer for the Boston Globe.
Yep.
Like, Bob Ryan was like one of my guys. Like, just like, oh my God, it's Bob Ryan. He went on ESPN and just said, the reporter that asked that is like the dumbest person in the world. Just awful. Just stupid, bad, terrible. So on one hand, I was like, you know, it's kind of cool because Bob Ryan was kind of talking about me. On the other hand, it's like one of my heroes like ripping me to shreds. But at the end of the day, I stood next to it. And the end of that story is kind of funny. The next week, because, it was a big deal to me. And my dad saw it. My dad goes to a Bob Ryan book signing a week later. And says, my son is the guy you were ripping on about the Peyton Manning thing. And had Bob Ryan sign the book. And it was like, to the idiot in Denver, get a better idea, Bob Ryan. So it was funny, though. It was funny. But the thinking in the NFL, Nate, it's not very progressive.
No. Too much on the line. The ownership doesn't want to take a chance on experimental guys. But they did with a good old Cliff Kingsbury.
That is why I cannot wait to see what happens in Arizona.
Yeah.
They are going to be by far the most interesting team to keep tabs on. The other interesting team is going to be the Raiders.
Yeah. And they're making some good moves.
I know. Yeah. And we're just finding out, is this right, fellas, that Brandon Marshall got signed by the Raiders? Is that right? So good for Brandon. Brandon's one of my favorite guys, Nate. That was tricky. I didn't know if Brandon was going to... did you think Brandon would find a home in the NFL?
How old is he?
1 year, 1.4.
4.1.
Wow. Oh, 4.1. Okay. Yeah, that's a good deal.
It's a lot of million.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he took a knee.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, that's cool that John Gruden's not holding him accountable for that. He's let... And he's obviously... They got Antonio Brown, who's outspoken dude. Kind of dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
They signed him.
Mm-hmm.
Vontaze Burfict. You know, not the choir boy.
That's for sure.
So it should be an interesting team. And actually very cohesive to the Raider image. John Gruden is feeling that silver and black. Well, he was there for a while before. I think he wants to make Al Davis proud.
I know people are angry at Brandon around here still.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get it. I get it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I get it.
It's just sad that it turned into such a circus.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, someone puts a camera up in your face and forces you to choose. And whatever you do, it's going to be wrong. And for Brandon, he had to make a choice, and he chose to kneel.
And he's pretty bold with it, too.
Yeah,
I thought it might have ended his NFL career. I knew it was going to end his time here.
Mm.
Now, there's football reasons why he's not here anymore, but there's other reasons, too. It's kind of one of those combo meals.
Yeah.
And there's enough football reasons to make it a legitimate football reason. But I like Brandon, personally, and I'm happy that, you know, he's still getting a shot, because I thought it might be done. So there we go. We're in the middle of it. We're moving on with it. We're glad you're here for it. The Rockies got themselves a nice little lead right off the bat. They're up 4-0. Opening day, sort of, in Florida. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
What I want you I just got a call from the school. Like... education. I guess you got to have it. No, you got to have it. But, you know, if you're an athlete in high school and you play these games in the afternoon, you got to leave.
Right.
Like, you got to leave school.
Yeah.
So I just got a call from the school saying, your son's missing from fourth period.
Oh.
Like, yeah, he's got to go to Highlands Ranch and go play baseball.
They're not coordinating.
No. I'm like, How do we not have this?
Well, will the teacher
figured out?
Teacher marked the dude absent. Turn in the sheet, and there's no one to check that stuff, man. There's no one to cross reference that. They just want you to know in case he cut.
Yeah, I don't know how it's not just figured out. I don't know how we're not coordinated here with all this stuff.
Yeah, people are mentally just checking out.
You gonna have kids?
I hope so. That's the plan.
Why do you want to have kids?
I love kids, and I love my wife, and together we want to expand the family, man. We want to.
Has it gotten much deeper than that?
Yeah, absolutely. She'd be a great mom. She loves babies. She loves kids. I love my nieces and nephews, and so does she.
Uh-huh.
And we're ready for that stage in our lives, we think. So
okay.
We hope it's on the horizon.
Well, best of luck.
We're practicing.
Okay. How's that going? Going
a little batting right? Practice? Yeah, it's going well.
Practice is going well.
Hey, man, you got to practice, you know, training, working
on
the technique.
Talking about practice.
I was thinking about quarterback. Quarterbacks are rearing their ugly. Is this a smokescreen or not for the Broncos, do you think? This quarterback thing.
Maybe they don't even know yet. And that's very possible. And that there's nothing wrong with that either. Because the more you study, the more you think about things, the more your opinion changes. And so perhaps they're still choosing between a linebacker, tight end, quarterback, D lineman. It depends on who's available, and it depends on that feeling they get that morning when they wake up. They might choose a quarterback, but I think they got one in Flacco. I think Joe's got a whole bag of chips on his shoulder. He's ready to unleash the cannon.
Here's Vic Fangio.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that can stay on the field and play all situations. You know, the NFL has changed so much in the last few years. In Chicago last year, we went against three wide receivers or more. 80% of our plays, there was three wide receivers or more on the field. And that's not counting the two tight end packages where one of them's really a receiver. So the thought process that a guy's a first and second down player and not a third down player, you're defending third downs.
Sorry, that's the wrong cut. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Just Fangio smokescreens.
Some of those guys you're just bringing in as a smokescreen.
Smokescreen.
So I wouldn't get too enamored with who we're bringing in or who the 31 other teams are bringing in. It could mean something. It might not mean something. But I think guys try and read the tea leaves of a draft, drive themselves crazy.
That's exactly what we're doing here.
I think that's what we're doing here.
Oh, yeah. I think Fangio's process is a little less, I don't know what the adjective is. But involved, I think he goes on his gut on a lot of stuff. He admitted that he hasn't watched a lot of film from last.
Yeah, that was a funny one.
Yeah, from last year.
I don't know who these guys are. Watch the Broncos. Why would I deal with that?
Well, he's been an NFL coach for like 30 years, so he feels it, just like you, D-Mac. You've been doing this for so long.
Time.
You feel it.
You know what it is. I've said this philosophically about this job. It's not about what to do, it's what to not do. Like what you don't have to waste your time with. And sometimes I think people in new jobs and new positions they kind of work themselves up because they try to do everything because they don't have experience. They don't know what they don't have to bother with. And I think that was a huge thing for Vance Joseph. It's a huge thing for a lot of first-time coaches. You're just like, And I think it's preposterous, you know, the 15, 16-hour days.
Oh, yeah.
It's stupid.
But there's so much pressure for those coaches. My alarm goes off at 3:22 every morning.
Right.
I'm in the office by 3:40.
I'm the one that opens up Dunkin' Donuts.
That's right.
So I can get my coffee, John Gruden.
Exactly. And I think that soundbite echoed in the NFL, and these coaches are in an arms race. Who's putting in the most hours?
It's so dumb. One time I was talking to Adam Gase. We're kind of buddies. And I mean, it was like 10 o'clock at night. This is like in the summertime. It wasn't even during the season. And, you know, I was like, oh, man, I'm keeping you up late. Your wife's probably, you know, bending. He goes, wife? He goes, I'm at work. This is summertime.
Dude,
I'm like, what are you doing at work? And I'm like, I don't know. Goodbye. I'll talk to you later.
It's watching film, man.
Yeah.
They got air mattresses in those offices. They do.
Yeah, but if your process is broken, though, Nate, I like what Fangio said. I don't have to go back and watch tape of a team of a bunch of guys I don't know and aren't on the team anyway. I'm watching tape of the guys that are going to be here. I'm liking Vic Fangio more and more and more, you know, because even though he's a first-time coach, he's still giving me the impression of, like, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. He's seen it all, and he's probably seen every single approach to this process play out. And so he knows what's worked and what hasn't. And he probably knows that you can overdo it. You can over-speculate. You can over-coach. You can over-prepare.
Right.
I've been on teams, and I've been involved in game plans that were too much. Over-preparation, where you put in all the coaches spend 20 hours up in that room and come up with some really, really cool plays.
Yeah.
But then they install it, and we go down there on the field, and we can't do it.
Right.
There's too many factors to it. Because if they do this, we do this. And then if they do that, then we do this. And you're going to motion over here. And the guys are confused. And football players are very instinctual. So you gotta make it simple for these guys.
No kidding. And like when Paxton Lynch got here, Bill Musgrave kind of ripped on him. And was said at one point, he goes, oh, what's he got, like 8 plays there in Memphis? Yeah, if you could find that, that'd be awesome. Oh, I got that? That's on my pad right now? Yeah. Oh, my God, Kyle. I'm an idiot, though. Look at Kyle coming to the rescue. Do you really know where that is? I'm super impressed if you know where that is. Kyle just turned 30, by the way.
Yeah, he's young. He's young. I don't know. Would they have 8 plays at Memphis? He's young. Oh, you're probably right. It might just be 1 sheet, 8 squares.
That's pretty harsh, man.
Well, it wouldn't be his fault.
He's getting a laugh, but you're the offensive coordinator. You're talking about your first-round draft pick, and you're cutting on him. You know, maybe it's not the worst thing that there were 8 plays. Maybe that's actually okay that there were 8 plays.
Well, there was probably more than 8. He was, I think, probably.
But whatever.
Yeah.
The thing is, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world that it was simple. Maybe you should make things simple for this guy. Get him a little confidence. Make things happen for him.
Yeah, the way a game usually unfolds, and we all watched the AFC Championship game when Tony Romo was like, this is what's going to happen now, and they're going to do this. It's because as the game goes on, the playbook really shrinks, and you end up running the 5 or 10 plays that are actually working.
Let's take a break, but let's get to Romo.
All right.
Because Romo, wait till you hear what Romo's trying to do to the networks. Wait till you hear this. That's next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
$5. This is a run to the left. I've got to pay now as it's Henry stepping out. Got a good block by Josh Klein.
Kill.
Here comes a run to the left. There's a run to the left. Guard. It's Lynch taking the pile with him.
Heads up for pressure off the top here.
They're coming, Tone. And Dalton is taken down by Josh Jones.
The quarterback's going to roll right and launch the ball out of bounds. It's going to look weird.
Rolling right, launching out of bounds, and Tony stealing the signals once again. Well done, my friend.
Tony Romo, wow. And by the way, for his Nostradamus show, he wants $10 million a year to continue to do that particular job.
Just insufferable. I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because, man, first of all, we're trying to watch the game, all right? I'm trying to watch the game. Don't tell me what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to watch a movie with Tony Romo, that's for sure.
Second of all, guy's going to come up right behind him.
Watch. He's going to walk around the corner. He's going to shut up, Tony, and let me watch the game. We get it. You watch a lot of film. Look, I mean, as the game goes on, the playbook shrinks. All his predictions happen in the second half. Of course, it's impressive in quotes, but these are 5, 6, 7, 8 plays that happen on the last drive. They're fairly predictable. You know, if they crowd the right side, he's going to run left. You know, there are things that all quarterbacks know this. Every single NFL quarterback knows this stuff. But it's turned into the kind of the Tony Romo show.
Right.
Where it's about Tony. You can tell he does that, like, blue steel magnum face all the time. He's ready for this moment. And the Romo Stradamus stuff, man, I just wish he would sit back and let the play happen and then talk about the play.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, he's going to, look what's going to happen. Just shut up, Tony.
I was trying to figure out how this enhances the game for anybody. Like, it's another thing, and not to be some sort of know-it-all, I suppose, but in certain situations of a football game, the options of what they're about to do are relatively limited. It's just not that, it's not that hard to predict. If you want to just sit there and say what's going to happen or how they're going to do it, I think anybody who is really paying attention to football or is a big football fan can more or less do what Tony Romo does.
Yeah.
What impresses people is probably because nobody thinks about it like that.
Right.
And don't forget, too, these guys get to meet with the coaches and players.
Mm-hmm.
They get to see the practice on Friday before the Sunday game.
Yeah.
They get to see exactly what happens in a 2-minute drill, what they're going to do. I mean, it's not that complicated.
And the Patriots offense, Tom Brady is I guess sort of predictable, but he's going to pick you apart cuz he is so good at it.
3rd and 6, hey, let's look for Edelman here. No kidding.
Right. Yeah, if Edelman's open, $5 he's going to throw it to him. So if Gronkowski splits out wide and he gets man coverage.
Hey, Gronk's on a linebacker. Look for a, kind of a wheel route or something from Gronk.
Yeah.
What a shock.
$5, they're either going to run it to the left or the right or they're going to throw it.
To me, Tony Romo is annoying, and I don't really enjoy watching games that Tony Romo's doing.
He kind of jumps on Jim Nance a lot, too.
Yeah, and it's this level of excitement with things that it's not true to the reality of what's actually happening.
Right.
But, hey, people seem to dig it.
Well, I think what people like is that he's explaining some things, some personnel stuff that they've never really understood or heard about before, which is good to an extent. I do think that, you know, explaining different packages and different reads and what a quarterback is looking for is important. But trying to predict everything before it happens is
a bit
much.
I like it when the Cowboys are in dime right now. Hey, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good little pickup. You notice that. It's good little information before the play. Maybe spend a second and explain what dime actually is for people, or what's the difference between dime and nickel. Explain why if you're a nickel against three wides, what that actually means, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is great and insightful. Or like you said, after something happens, what's going through a quarterback's mind?
Right.
Like if he makes a play and said, yeah, you know, that receiver was definitely the first read, but he did have options here and here and here. And I've seen guys do that over the years, and I think it's really impressive.
Yeah.
And that brings you a deeper knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah, I think so.
But the whole, like, you know, let me flip a coin and tell you where the ball's going. Who cares?
Right.
But now he wants $10 million a year.
That's a lot.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Well, you can see why I just want to get hit anymore. I mean, when you're going to make more money as a broadcaster than as a football player anyway.
But then there was whispers that he might just walk away. Did you read that?
I did, yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
Walk away. Go walk away. I don't think I've ever put on a football game to hear an announcer.
No.
Now, if you're a bad announcer, I suppose, you know, okay. If you're a really good announcer, maybe I'll watch a bad game because, I don't know, I like Gus Johnson calling, you know, football, something like that. Kevin Harlan's really good. You know, I enjoy listening to him. You know, perhaps there's some sort of reason. But in general, whatever. Right?
Yeah. Football is so complicated, though, and people kind of feel confused by a lot of the stuff that goes on. And I think it's nice for them to think that there are rules that govern things and there is an outcome that should happen. The problem is that the thing that quote-unquote should happen doesn't always happen. And so what happens after that is a play goes wrong, in quotes, and it's, oh, no, he shouldn't have done that. He should have done something else because that's what the book says. Tony Romo was a guy who first to get there, last to leave type of a guy who said, no, coach, we still have to watch the film. We haven't watched the film yet. You know, he's the kid in class who says, teacher, you haven't collected the homework yet. And as a player, you don't like that. You want to go home.
Let me tell you a story real quick. So we had an idiot for my AP history teacher in high school, Arthur Carey, who, you know, was one of these guys who'd been a teacher for 100 years and just had totally tuned out. So he gave us a syllabus at the beginning of the year, and he barely looked at it. He didn't know anything about it. He didn't care. It was kind of embarrassing, really. And on the syllabus, and he had not talked about us doing a paper at all for months, but Hope Hennessy, bless her heart, she had the syllabus and she raises her hand and she goes, Mr. Carey, on the syllabus it says we have this like 5-page paper due on Thursday and it was Tuesday. Is that still due?
Oh.
And all of us just look back at Hope like, you have got to be kidding me, Hope. And Mr. Carey was like, yeah. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, that's due. I really hope.
That's Tony Romo right there.
That's the football version of Tony Romo.
So my brother, who went to a private prep school and was way smarter than me, was also taking AP History at the same time. And he wrote a paper on the Granger movement. You familiar with the Granger movement?
No.
Me neither. But I just basically took his paper and passed it in.
Nice.
He got an A on it. He got an A on it. He's one of the smartest people, dual major in chemical engineering and business at the University of Pennsylvania, accepted by Harvard, turned Harvard down, radiologist, doctor, also made millions trading derivatives on Wall Street. He wrote a paper about the Granger movement and got an A in school. So I passed in his paper. He typed it. I just wrote it down by hand. I passed it in, and I got it back like a week later. No marks on it. None. And just at the end of the paper, B.
Wow.
Because that's who I was to that teacher.
Yeah, because your name on the top changed the content of the paper.
That's it.
Wow.
You're a good kid. You're not the worst kid. You're a B.
Jeez.
B.
Or maybe, yeah, he didn't even read it himself.
There's no way he read it. That's my point.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course he didn't read it.
Right.
He just looked at who passed it in, didn't put any marks on it, he didn't read it.
He didn't want to read any of those. That's why he forgot it. Forgot the assignment.
Attention to details. Death by inches, Nate.
Death by a thousand cuts.
That's right. Football at 4 is next.